lemon nut crusted wild Mexican sea bass with lemon butter, sautéed fresh spinach with garlic and lemon, and garlic mashed potatoes. A meal fit for a Viking, which is the topic of today's episode. The Vikings didn't call themselves that, as the term doesn't apply to any one specific tribe of people, and the countries of Scandinavia as we know them today didn't exist. Instead, these Norse seafarers had mostly settled in scattered clans and were called different names by different people. For example, the English in Ireland called them Ostmen, which literally means the men from the east. The term Viking perhaps originally meant kings of the bays, as the root word vik means creek or bay, and that is what they often ambushed. Some historians claim the etymology is more likely from the Proto-Indo-European word wek, meaning clan or race. But in any event, the term Viking eventually came to imply pirate. Of course, the most interesting and insightful name for the Vikings comes from the Muslim sources, where they were referred to with the epithet the Magis, a term initially used for Zoroastrians in the East, particularly the ancient Aryan priests. Magis is where we get our modern word for magician, and it also translates to fire worshippers. The term was also used to describe the swastika-adorned Vikings who entered Europe from the East, where the earliest known use of the word magi is in the trilingual inscription written 2,500 years ago by Darius the Great, known as the Behistun inscription, where he also refers to himself, his language, and his race as Aryan. The ancient priests of Zoroastrianism and the earlier Aryan religions of the Western Iranians used the term in the context for a practitioner of magic to include astronomy, astrology, alchemy, and other forms of esoteric knowledge. The oldest surviving Greek reference to the Magi probably comes from the 6th century BC, where the philosopher Heraclitus curses the Magi for their impious rites and rituals. Unfortunately, a description of the rituals that Heraclitus was referring to has not survived, but based on mystery school religions that claim to descend from the region, they likely involved tantric sex magic, altered states of consciousness, and various forms of shamanistic divination. These ancient Mesopotamian magicians grew their beards as part of a symbolic vow of chastity, meaning a form of semen retention, adhering to strict sacred sex practices, which were later introduced into Europe by the Knights Templar, but even earlier by waves of Aryan invaders who settled into tribes that were collectively known as barbarians to the Roman Empire, as barbar in Latin means bearded, and only later became considered a derogatory term. There are also descriptions from the mid-5th century BC by Herodotus, considered the father of history, who speaks of the Magi as one of the races of the Medes. According to Herodotus, quote, "The Medes were called anciently by all people Aryans, but when Media, the Colchian, came to them from Athens, they changed their name, such is the account which they themselves give." Of course, the term Aryan is no longer politically correct, despite it being linguistically correct, as anthropology has undergone many changes in recent years, replacing historic reality with a social engineering agenda. While it may no longer be considered socially acceptable by politically motivated activists to attribute a gender or a race to ancient remains, the fact is that, anthropologically speaking, a considerable amount of scientific data about the past can be realized from genetic analysis, as was the case when DNA was sequenced recently, from 400 Viking skeletons from archaeological sites scattered across Europe and Greenland, revealing that Scandinavia was influenced by genes from Asia and Southern Europe before the Viking Age. These findings seem to validate Thor Heyerdahl's assertion that the Norse religion concerning Odin was introduced into Northern Europe by settlers that migrated from Eurasia, founding the Norwegian-Swedish royal dynasty. Heyerdahl based much of his speculation on Icelandic sagas and a modest amount of archaeology in the Caucasus, but DNA has confirmed that at least some of the Viking ancestry migrated into Europe, likely bringing their customs with them. In prior videos, I've already discussed the similarity between Phoenician and Viking vessels, as well as possible links between Germanic runes and the early Phoenician alphabet. The term Phoenician was coined by the Greeks and means red, as this ancient seafaring culture, which were also often regarded as pirates, venerated the color red, symbolically and literally through the use of red ochre pigment, which was common in ancient Mediterranean and North African civilizations, such as Egypt. Hesiod describes Zeus's eye as the sun. That said, Odin's one eye is an esoteric emblem of the sun, symbolic of the occult solar mysteries, also known as the Eye of Jupiter or the Eye of Ra. While in more recent times, Odin is equated to Zeus or Jupiter, back then, the contemporary Romans considered Odin equivalent to the god Mercury. Mercury was called Hermes by the Greeks and Thoth by the Egyptians. However, the early Egyptians also had another deity called Set or Seth that they linked with the planet Mercury and with the color red. Set would eventually become vilified in later Egyptian periods, becoming associated with foreign empires, but Set's cult was one of the oldest in Egypt. Eventually, the priests of Horus came into conflict with Set's adherents and even reveled things with red color, such as killing animals with red fur, with many Sethians leaving Egypt and settling the Levant. The Sethians were one of the main currents of Gnosticism during the Hellenistic period, and while some ancient historians have identified them with pre-Christian Jewish sects, I'd like to point out that during the 2nd century BC, a group called Edomites were forcibly converted to Judaism. Edom means red in Hebrew, and they occupied an area of what is now southern Israel and was called Judea in antiquity. The Sethians, also known as the Sons of Seth, venerated the serpent, seeing it as the generating principle of all things, especially man. They regarded the serpent as a symbol of esoteric wisdom and rebirth, who taught man and woman the complete knowledge of the mysteries. While these alleged Gnostic teachings have been banned and sanitized out of modern Abrahamic religions, their symbolism remains and was disseminated as far away as Northern Europe and the New World. The Celts and Vikings, like their Phoenician cousins before them, venerated the serpent and the altered, visionary, shamanistic states of consciousness, which are said to bring about a state of inner knowing or gnosis. while a goddess represented the earth and seasons in Indo-European antiquity, it was a god of the sky and thunder, whose reign represented semen falling from the heavens, impregnating the earth, ushering in the new life cycle below. By extension, it was nature spirits that the ancient Aryans communed with in altered states of consciousness, including the spirits of the trees, rivers, wind, fire, and personifications of the forces of nature. This ancient non-authoritarian religion, which relied on a direct personal and interconnection to the divine, was forced to go underground in Europe and became known as alchemy, and persisted in organized religions in esoteric forms of Christianity. By the 13th century, the Norman descendants of the Vikings had become the most powerful force in Christendom. Normans were a mix of Norse Viking settlers and Franks, who were a Germanic Aryan people that invaded Western Europe from east of the Rhine, who went on to conquer France, southern Italy, Sicily, and the Holy Land. The Crusades, and in particular, the Knights Templar, were to a large degree made up of these Germanic Normans, and they became the custodians of the occult spiritual rituals which were covertly practiced in Europe by secret societies that maintained the mystery school teachings. Many mainstream historians attribute the Germanic, Norse, or Viking participation in the Crusades as being motivated strictly by greed and a desire to acquire treasure, wealth, or territory for the church. While there may be some truth to this, there's a deeper ancestral link between certain European tribes and the Middle East than is acknowledged by modern academia. Ancient historians such as Josephus trace migrations of what have become known as the Lost Tribes of Israel up through Armenia, across the Caucasus, into southern Russia, and what is generally known as the steppes, or what was also known at the time as Scythia, where the Norse sagas claim that Odin came from. That said, some Scots also believe to have originated in Scythia, and according to Herodotus, the Celts originated from Armenia. These tribes intermarried and formed into the ruling dynasties and European aristocratic bloodlines, which brings us to the Knights Templar and the true origins of European Freemasonry. The Templars grew very wealthy through banking practices and possibly acquiring gold that was allegedly buried somewhere in Jerusalem, but they were also interested in secret esoteric practices from ancient Phoenicia that became the part of the guarded alchemical secrets of the organization that was acquired through interactions with Middle Eastern mysticism brought back into Europe. In particular, Gnostic Sufi sects, which originated in Egypt and occupied the Levant and Mesopotamia, that maintained the ancient Aryan occult knowledge which survived the conversion into Islam. This was the true treasure of the Templars, not financial wealth. Gnosticism is underpinned by the belief that an individual is responsible for his or her own spiritual development and that anybody can approach the divine through ancient tantric techniques that provides the individual access. In medieval Europe, any form of Gnostic teaching was condemned as heretical by the church, which asserted that the only way an individual could approach God was through the intermediary of the priests and bishops, or pope. The pre-Gnostic initiation rites are ancient, going back thousands of years, predating the Bronze Age, and while the names of the god or gods have changed, the esoteric occult techniques and underlying science of numbers, known in medieval times as Kabbalah, has stayed the same. For example, the origins of the first 3 degrees in Freemasonry are the remains of such ancient initiation rituals to the triune or triple deity, which in antiquity was often expressed through the use of the equilateral triangle. In the 4th century BC, Aristotle wrote, quote, "All things are three, and thrice is all, and let us use this number in the worship of the gods, for As the Pythagoreans say, everything and all things are bounded by threes. For the end, the middle, and the beginning have this number in everything, and these compose the number of the Trinity. According to the Larousse Encyclopedia of Mythology, in regards to ancient Sumer, quote, the universe was divided into three regions, each of which became the domain of a god. Anu-Sher was the sky. The earth was given to Enlil. A became the ruler of the waters. Together, they constituted the triad of the great gods. The ancient Egyptians arranged their gods or goddesses in trinities, such as Osiris, Isis, and Horus. The Babylonian trinity consisted of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. As for Christianity, in the year 381, the Council of Constantinople added to the earlier Nicene Creed a description of the Holy Spirit as, quote, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified. The dove is a symbol for the feminine Holy Spirit, as can be seen in numerous artistic depictions in churches among many Christian denominations. In Greek mythology, the dove was associated with Aphrodite, and in ancient Mesopotamia, doves were a prominent symbol of Inanna or Ishtar, goddess of love, sexuality, and war, whose Phoenician equivalent was called Astarte, associated with the storm god Baal. In Germanic or Norse communities, the Trinity was Odin or Woden, Thor, and Freya. Few really appreciate the Nordic or Germanic influence. For example, the English word for four of the days of the week are named for Viking gods or royal figures. Wednesday is named for Woden or Odin, the first great god-king of the Norse and Scandinavia. Thursday is named for his son, Thor, and Friday after his wife and queen, Frigg or Freya. Tuesday is named for the Viking god of war, Tyr or Tu, Tuesday being literally Tuesday. Besides the number 3 and the number 12, which I've already covered in prior videos, the number 7 is also revered since ancient times, repeatedly appearing in religions and mythology, such as the 7 days of creation, or the 7 days of the week, 7 representing the creative or generative force, meaning having the power to produce or originate. Not only is the Masonic letter G the 7th letter in the alphabet, there are traditionally 7 chakras, or energetic centers, in the body, which become active when one's sex energy is transmuted and refined into what is known as a kundalini awakening, a Sanskrit word meaning coiled, referring to a divine feminine energy believed to be located at the base of the spine, which when awakened, allegedly has the potential to bring about altered states of higher awareness. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again